From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings another portion of the message, Christ and Mammon. From the two famous parables in Luke chapter 16, Dr. Cairns has been showing that the Savior's emphasis here is upon obtaining the true riches rather than worldly wealth. As we'll see, the Savior warns against the subtle power of the wrong kind of wealth. We'll come to the message in a few minutes, but first, in today's hot topic, no more Islamic terrorists.
According to the British government, Islamic terrorists or extremists will be no more. Last year it stopped using such terms as the war on terror. It was offensive to Muslims and provided Al-Qaeda with a powerful recruiting tool, as the terrorists could paint their struggle as the defense of Muslim values against a war waged by Western secularism. Now Gordon Brown's government imagines it can woo Muslim opinion by renaming Islamic terrorism as anti-Islamic activity. At the same time, a Dutch filmmaker was postponing the issue of his study of Islam, in which he likened the Quran to Hitler's Mein Kampf. The British government wants us all to believe that Muslim belief does not countenance acts of atrocity against infidels. I must say, it will have a hard job on its hands. Looking at the problem of radicalizing young Muslims in Western society, we may say that if indeed renaming Islamic terrorism as anti-Islamic activity robbed Al-Qaeda and other terror groups of their ability to recruit young British Muslims as they have done in the past, it would be an acceptable change. However, there's no evidence that changes like the one we're considering will have the slightest effect on Al-Qaeda recruitment or on the radicalizing of young British Muslims. Along with renaming Islamic terrorism, the government intends seeking to encourage mosques to deal with extremism and to prevail on more imams to learn to speak English. Now we're getting to the real heart of the problem, but the government's way of dealing with it is insipid and doomed to fail. Britain's mosques have all too often been hotbeds of rebellion and treachery. The Arabic-speaking imams bode no good for Britain. Rather, they are all too often the lightning rods for Muslim discontent. Wishing Muslim terrorism away won't get rid of it. Renaming it will make no difference to it. Being nice to radical imams whose big purpose in Britain is to radicalize young Muslims is like feeding cupcakes to a hungry lion in the hope that he won't eat you. Britain's afflicted with the same fear of Islam that's paralyzing the other governments of Europe. They are undoubtedly right in seeking not to offend or alienate Muslims who wish them no harm and engage in no radical activity. But it's difficult to see how or why law-abiding Muslims should be radicalized or scandalized by calling terrorists who commit their acts of carnage in the name of their religion Islamic terrorists. Those moderate Muslims know as well as the rest of us that many of Britain's mosques are havens for radical imams and their followers. So why would they be offended at that fact being publicly stated? Whether we like it or not, the West is in a war with Islamic terrorists. We cannot wish it away. Nor can we win it simply with guns and rockets. We have an increasing Muslim community. It's largely a closed community, and therefore more easily radicalized. What we need is the exposure of Muslims to genuine Christianity preached and lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. What they imagine to be Christianity is more likely anti-Christianity. And we need to give ourselves to prayer that we may be able to have an effective Christian witness that will bring Muslims out of the bondage of Islam into the liberty of the gospel. Converted Muslims, just as converted Jews, Protestants, Roman Catholics, or Hindus, or whatever, will never become terrorists.
Stained within.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. For an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Jesus is insisting we don't spend our time worrying about what we don't have. We ought to concentrate on being rich toward God. He warned us further, and we'll get to the warnings more fully in a moment, but he warned us further that worldly wealth is usually associated with sin. In verse 9, he calls it the mammon of unrighteousness. Again, in verse 11, he calls it the unrighteous mammon. Now, that's not to say that earning money is sinful. It is not to say that, as an old song used to belt out, money is the root of all evil. The Bible doesn't say that. That's a total misconstruction and misquotation of Scripture. It doesn't say that at all. But it is undoubtedly true that it is usually associated with sin, and all too often it becomes the enemy of our obtaining the true riches. That is godliness. So you'll find in dealing with the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus says to him in verse 22, you want to be saved, you've done all these things, you boast in your righteousness and your law keeping, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So here was a rich man who was a law-abiding citizen. There's nothing to say that in any way this man got his wealth by unworthy means. Not a thing. But nonetheless, it had so gripped his soul that the reality was he preferred his possessions to Christ. That was the ultimate reality. So even in his case, where you'd got an upright young man,
You have the association with sin. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus tells the parable of another rich man, this time a rich farmer, who had prospered beyond his wildest dreams, who suddenly thought that all his plans had so been blessed. He didn't think of them as being blessed of God, but they had been so blessed and so fulfilled that now he can retire in the lap of luxury. And he would say to his soul, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry." But Jesus said, verse 20, "God said unto him," you see the idea? There was no thought of God in the man's mind. There was no thought of God there. And you see, there's the association with sin. So enamored with getting everything that he could in the world, he had no thought of God, but God had thought of him, and God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be that thou hast provided?" And Jesus added this, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." That's why he instructed us in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 19, words that many of us learned as school children, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." But what is treasure in heaven? You must disabuse yourself entirely of the notion that you can give money to the church or to the poor or whatever down here and buy a place in heaven. You can't do that. That's not what Christ is saying. You must give up all notion that you can either by what you give or what you do merit a place in heaven. It's not the meaning. What is this treasure? I think in the words of Luke 16 that we read this morning, this treasure in heaven is undoubtedly that when you die, you're received into everlasting habitations. You're received into eternal dwellings. Now, men and women, let me tell you, that's true wealth. If you were to die today in the seat where you're sitting, where would your soul be? And if you were to be cut off from this life and then cut off from God like the rich man of whom we have read, if you were to leave everything that you have here and be launched out into the blackness of darkness forever, where you have no God, no Christ, no hope, no help, no rescue, no escape, and you had to lament, "I am tormented in the flame of God's eternal wrath," then let me tell you, no matter how much money you would have in the bank, no matter how sumptuously you fare every day, you are a poor man. But if, though you have little in this world, if you were like Lazarus, I think the Lord Jesus deliberately chose that name. It's the only parable in which he actually gives a proper name to a figure in the parable. And there's a great deal of irony there. Lazarus is simply the New Testament form of the Old Testament name Eleazar, which means "God is my help." Here was this man whose name bespoke his testimony, "God is my help." And he certainly needed the help of God, for he didn't get any from the rich man who fared sumptuously. Lazarus would certainly have been glad of the crumbs that fell from his table. There's not a word to say he even got those. But be you as poor as Lazarus, if today you are so related to God by saving faith in Jesus Christ, that if you died in the seat where you're now sitting and your soul would go straight to heaven and straight to glory, then let me tell you, you are rich indeed. Those are the true riches. The true riches to be prepared by saving grace, to be prepared by the application of the merits of Christ to your soul, to be justified, accepted by God, divested of all the rags of your own sinfulness, and clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ, and given the title deed to heaven into your hand, to be so prepared to die and go to glory, that is wealth indeed. Paul described this wealth at some length in Ephesians, in chapter 1, again in chapter 2. If I may sum up what he says, the treasure in heaven is the riches of God's grace, giving us redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Christ, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, that in the ages to come we might enjoy the riches of God's grace in His kindness toward us in Christ. That is real treasure. And you know, that's where Christ places the focus. He didn't come, as the charismatics would want you to believe, to make every one of us a millionaire. In fact, if God made us all millionaires, there'd probably be no more certain way of damning souls. Because remember, the mammon is the mammon of unrighteousness. It's so often associated with what is destructive. He didn't come to make us all millionaires. He came to make us rich toward God. And I want to ask you this morning, no matter what you have in terms of worldly possession, are your sins forgiven? The old hymn says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Put it another way, have you been born again? Put it another way, have you been quickened out of the death of your sin and made alive unto God? Have you been justified from all the wickedness and sinfulness of your flesh? And have you been set in a right standing with God? Can you look God in the face today and say, I am redeemed and I know it full well. Saved by His grace, I with Him shall dwell. I am redeemed. I'm the child of His love. I'm heir to a glorious mansion above. Is that your testimony? There's nothing can compare with that wealth. Every penny you earn in this life, you'll lose. Every dollar you will leave behind. Every house will crumble to dust. All possessions will become as nothing. But here is gold that is the gold of glory. Here is treasure that will last forever. Let me ask you today, are you rich toward God? That was our Savior's first priority. And therefore, secondly, the Lord Jesus warned against the subtle power and the danger of worldly possession and worldly wealth. The first obvious and terrible warning is that worldly possessions can easily become our God and our master. Notice he says you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon demands to be served. We've seen this, every one of us, in our lives. I have seen people throughout my life who struggled. They had nothing and they were as happy as could be. They didn't have much, but they had enough and they were happy. And then they got a little bit and suddenly they realized, I have something now to lose. Before, they had nothing to lose. I have something now I can lose. I have something I've got to guard. I have something I've got to grow. I have something that I've got to pay attention to. And you see, that's what the Lord Jesus is warning us about. that when you get wrapped up in the possessions of this world, they demand your attention, they consume your attention, and suddenly, instead of being your servant, they become your master. Instead of being your servant, they become your God, because they want your devotion.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.